From the farm field in Logan County, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the first day of May 2018. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Traveling today to the home farm, we'll hear from one of my brothers about Gleason Farms here and how they've been doing as this planting season progresses. We'll talk also today with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, about the trade in Chicago. Harry Cooney should join us to discuss the agricultural energies. And as we wrap up our time together, Don Day will be here from Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Stay with us for this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Wayne Nelson is here now from L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Kind of a nice little upturn in the market, especially for the wheat and the corn today, led by wheat. What happened?
Well, I think, you know, the wheat ratings did gain just a little bit, but the wheat tour is starting out. Some of the pictures flying over the internet with 6 to 8 inch wheat heading out, I don't think did much, along with the dry weather in Russia, Australia, and the problems of a little wet weather in Argentina getting the wheat planted there. So all of those were a little bit positive for the wheat this morning.
When we talked to the cash grain folks yesterday, they said the little pop in corn had caused a few folks to market some old crop, maybe even some new crop. Is this a place producers ought to think about it, in your opinion?
I think, you know, if you haven't got caught up on some, this is some nice bops. You know, we made you know, some new highs here as of late with the July corn. And so I think that it's a place, if you haven't been marketed or caught up, why it's not a bad place to catch up.
What are the expectations for that rainfall and delays in the planting this week and next?
Well, you know, we're flying along really fast in our area. A lot of the guys are going to be a good percentage done, if not done, planting in their corn by the time it gets here, late Wednesday, Thursday. You know, but I think a little farther out west in parts of Iowa and out there, they're going to get a little heavier rain. But we're actually looking forward to a good rain here, so we're not going to be upset if we see a rain come Wednesday night, Thursday.
What have you been watching on the international front? I know we have talked a little bit about the accident in Argentina at the Bungie port. I checked with them, but have not heard still back from them about how long the delay is. Do we know what that'll mean to the marketplace over the long run?
Well, I think basically that they were saying that that could be anywhere from 6 to 12 months before they get that berth repaired. That does slow down the exports out of Argentina, and of course, their farmers have been very tight holders down there. And so basically along the way, that has helped our U.S. basis on corn and beans here right now. More so than anything, the weather down there is actually getting them to maybe cut back the Brazilian corn crop or the Safrina crop a little bit for right now. So that's helping a little bit with the attitude with corn going up following the wheat.
Hey, Wayne, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson, of course, is with L&M Commodities. He's out of New Market, Indiana. A quick look at the numbers as they were released from USDA as it relates to the weekly crop progress yesterday afternoon. 17% of the corn around the nation had been planted. That compares to the rolling average of 27%. 3% of the corn has emerged, 6% the rolling five-year average, and 5% of the soybeans were put into the ground by Sunday. The normal is also 5%. Now here are the state statisticians with their updates.
This is Ben Torrance, agricultural statistician for the USDA NASS Upper Midwest Region Field Office. Iowa farmers made the most of the 4.7 days suitable for field work last week. Corn and soybeans were planted in addition to soil preparation and fertilizer application. Topsoil moisture levels rated 73% adequate and 8% surplus. Iowa farmers have planted 17% of the expected corn crop, 3 days behind last year and 4 days behind the five-year average. While much of northern Iowa remains wet from melting snow, which has slowed planting progress, south central and southeast Iowa already have 40% or more of the corn planted. Soybean planting is underway with 2% of the expected crop in the ground, 2 days ahead of last year, but equal to the average. 62% of the expected oat crop has been planted, 8 days behind both last year and the five-year average. Just 10% of the crop has emerged, almost 2 weeks behind last year. The extended winter season has left hay in short supply for some livestock producers. Pastures in many areas need rain to spur growth. For the USDA NASS Upper Midwest Region Field Office, this is Ben Torrance.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Cooler than normal temperatures continued across Illinois, but below average rainfall gave producers a chance to get caught up on field work. Temperatures averaged 3 degrees below normal across the state, and rainfall averaged 1/3 of an inch, which is more than 1/2 inch below normal. There were 5.6 days suitable for field work last week. Topsoil moisture declined and is now rated 3% of acres very short, 11% short, 74 adequate, and 12% surplus. Soil temperatures on Sunday ranged from the mid-40s to the lower 50s across Illinois. Corn planting surged ahead by 28 points and is now 32% complete, compared to 59% 1 year ago and 40% for the 5-year average. Soybean planting is reported as 7% complete, compared to 12% last year and 5% normally. 5% of winter wheat acres are heading, compared to 61% 1 year ago and 18% for the 5-year average. The condition of the winter wheat crop was reported as 3% very poor, 6% poor, 32 fair, 49 good, and 10% excellent, slightly better than 1 week ago. This has been Mark Schleusener from the Springfield, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Please be careful as you are driving and watch out for the other guy, as farm equipment will be traveling from field to field in rural areas.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NASS Minnesota Field Office. Warmer temperatures led to melting snow, which resulted in 1.3 days suitable for field work during the week. Snow has melted in most fields, with frost still working its way out of the ground. Farmers that were able to work in the fields were busy with field preparation, spreading fertilizer, rock picking, and planting. Topsoil moisture supplies rated 0% very short, 3% short, 64% adequate, and 33% surplus. Cool temperatures, muddy fields, and frost in the ground have all delayed planting of spring crops. Spring wheat planted was reported at 2% complete, compared to 20% last year and the 5-year average of 34%. Oats planted were reported at 3% complete, compared to 37% last year and 41% average. Barley at 1% complete, compared to 10% last year and 25% average. Potatoes were at 2% complete, and that compares to 29% last year and 26% average. And sugar beets planted were reported at 10% complete, and that's compared with 45% last year and the average of 44%. Pastures remain dormant in the northern parts of the state as spring calving continues. For the USDA NASS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Stephen Dothage with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report. Warmer and drier weather across the state allowed for slight progress in corn and soybean planting. The lowest recorded temperature for the week was 25 degrees, the highest 74 degrees. Recorded precipitation ranged from 0 to 1.09 inches. Fields continued to dry slowly during the warm days, but colder nights and isolated rain events kept soil moisture adequate to surplus in most areas. Some growers were able to plant corn and soybeans throughout the week. Winter wheat growth continued to progress, albeit slowly, due to the cool soil temperatures. The warmer temperatures spurred pasture greening, though growth still lagged amid reports of dwindling hay stocks. Other activities included fertilizer applications, tillage, spraying and burn down, tile installation, and hauling grain to elevators. This is Stephen Dothage reporting.
Well, as you already know, we're here on Gleason Farms in Logan County outside of Elkhart, Illinois. As it happens, they're planting old Dad's place, where Dad and Mom lived in the last home, and I mostly grew up, so kind of an old home thing for me. Glad to be out here with you, Larry, and brother Tim, both in the same field today. And this will be, interestingly enough, your last day in the field planting.
Yeah, first time we've ever been done by the 1st of May. Not that unusual to be in the same field, but Tim's planter has shutoffs on it, so we give him the all the angles, and I try to stay in the straight rows.
So how did this year work out for you? I mean, most people have thought, hey, we're really got a late start. In fact, as I drove over this morning, surprised myself that 60 miles or so from Cisco to Mount Pulaski to Elkhart, which is a straight shot going west, I would guess most of it's not been planted at this time. Yet you guys who are no-till and are in and done.
Well, on a normal year, no-till tillers tend to be a day or two behind those that work their ground, but we've been in an unusually dry area, I think, compared to the rest of the state of Illinois anyway. And so we were allowed to get in a little quicker than a lot of the other areas. And I'm not scared to be in early on no-till if it's dry. Planting into cold and dry is one thing. Planting into cold and wet is another for me. So for us this year, we've actually had a pretty good run.
So I've got an interesting question I think producers will want to know. You're running equipment here, a couple of 16-row planters, a late 90s model, brand new model with all the bells and whistles on it. Tim tells me that the toolbar for them is pretty much exactly the same. Have you done comparisons one to the other to see how well they do?
Yeah, the toolbars aren't really the same, and the delivery system is very similar. From the time the kernel gets down to where it's going to be planted, it's exactly the same on my planter as is on the new International planter. We've done yield checks on corn for 3 years in a row, and it's always kind of fun because we always kind of have it as a contest between Tim and I, and for 3 years in a row, my planter has actually out-yielded the new planter, about statistically the same, but a year or two. But I'd always say it's the guy doing the planting more than it is the planter. So, but statistically, no difference in the last 3 years.
Well, Case will be glad that you said International instead of Case the first time around.
I'm an old farmer, so International Case, yeah.
So one other item before I let you go. You'll be done here early, but there's a whole lot left to do on the farm. What's the rest of the summer look like, and how's farming for you changed in the last 25 or 30 years?
Well, it's physically gotten a lot easier. The advent of herbicides and post-spraying is a lot of work now, where before we used to do a lot of walking of beans. For this year for us, it becomes easier because we're going to hire most of our spraying done. Where in the past we've done it ourselves. The rest of the year for me looks like really pretty easy because this year we split up. There was four brothers that farmed together, and our older brother took his two boys and took some of the ground, and they're going to farm on their own. So it left Rob and Tim and I, and we don't have as many acres to get over. So for us, this year is going to get a lot easier, and hopefully we'll get a lot more golf in.
Speaking of Rob, he's been trying to call both you and I over the last 3 minutes here, so we'll get to him in a bit. He's number three brother in the six of us, and people have asked and wondered once in a while how passing down these farms works and how easy or how hard it might be. There was an awful lot of work prior to the time Dad passed, so that the six boys in our family could manage to work this out really well. And it's done a nice job, but it took an incredible amount of planning.
Yeah, it did. When we started farming, the four oldest boys started almost at the same time back in 1973, 74. And our dad was a believer in owning ground. He was always said if you wanted to get ahead in life, you needed to own it. So we used a lot of our labor instead of buying equipment, and we used our money that we had to buy ground. And because there was four of us and five of us sometimes buying ground, if an 80 came up for sale, you didn't have to buy the whole 80, you just bought a portion of it. And we did that over the next 30 years. And then, so we had a jigsaw puzzle of the way our farms were put together, and we got thinking about it as Dad got older and what would happen if something would happen to one of us. And since we put that puzzle together, we figured it was easier for us to take it apart. So we worked 2 years basically trying to come up with a division of ground to try to get everybody pretty much their own ground. And we did it. We got our work done, and then we went to a lawyer, and one lawyer told us that he couldn't do it. Another lawyer took it and ran with it, and within a year had it completed, and we waited till our dad passed away, and we already had everything in place and initiated our plan, and we split it up, and we figured that we never wanted our family to ever get into an argument over money or ground, and to do it while we were all still healthy and were aware of what was going on, it was easier for us to do it, and so far it's worked out really well.
I've been farming myself now. Well, I've been marketing a crop myself. This will be my fourth year, so it seems to have worked all right.
Yeah, I'm going to have to start paying a little more attention to you. You seem to do a better job of marketing than me. I've hit the low for the last 2 years in a row on everything. So, it's worked out well. And our family still seems to get along really well. So, I don't think we could ask for much more.
Well, thanks, Larry, for taking time with me, and glad you're done farming today, at least with the planting.
Yeah, well, if everything works, we should be done in here about 4 hours.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason, coming to you from the farm field in Logan County, outside of Elkhart, Illinois, actually sitting out in front of the house at the moment. So you might hear those wind chimes and maybe the planter running in the background. Trust me, they're there. But let's talk a little bit about what's happening in the agricultural energies. Harry Cooney is here. He's with GrowMark. Hey, Harry, thanks so much for being with us for the day.
Well, thanks, Todd, but I feel like I should be out there with you. Gosh, do you need a helper or something? The wind chimes in the background, a sunny day, and planting time. I don't know if I have as much excitement here in the energy markets, even though we were moderately lower today, and we're trying to put in a little seasonal peak in the energy markets here.
Well, I wondered about this. I saw something on the Twitter feed as I stopped on my drive on the way over about the price of crude oil potentially stalling where it is because there just aren't enough people that are willing to continue to go long. So the idea that it was down for a little bit doesn't surprise me. What do you think about that market in particular?
Well, it seems like to me this is the seasonal time of the year for crude to start peaking out in price. Now, there's no confirmation on a price chart that we've put a peak in. Of course, a lot of times before you get that confirmation, you'll be already sold off for a fair amount. But this is the time of the year, late April, early May, to have a peak in the market put in place, and then to have a sell-off from now into about Memorial Day. Now, it doesn't work that way every year, but I'm guessing probably 6 or 7 out of 10 years it does. So you can see why people have seen the calendar change and they're looking to possibly do some selling here, or especially taking some profits from some of the long positions they already have on the books.
I know much earlier in the year you were talking about producers needing to fill their diesel needs and make sure they have gotten that all booked. I take it now it's not a great time to do anything else as you look forward into the fall.
That's right. I mean, they have the product. They've probably had another fill or so since then because, of course, a lot of activity in the fields and such. There'll likely be another opportunity to fill back up after the planting time. And also, we're looking for an entry point to do some more contracting recommendations sometime in the late spring, early summer time period in there. And so we'll have to see what opportunities the market gives us. But sometime late spring, early summer, I know last year it was around the middle of June when the market bottomed out. So we'll be looking at some point in here to get some last half of 2018 needs on the books.
And finally, is there anything else that you've been watching closely, propane or other marketplaces?
Well, the propane market's been holding firm. We've been hoping that will sell off here, and I think it will over time, that we can get some recommendations on the books there. But the other markets, I guess, we're watching is the U.S. dollar and interest rates. Interest rates have been taking off here for some time and going up, and I was surprised that the dollar didn't take off and follow the interest rates up. Finally, we're starting to see some reaction on the upside here to the U.S. dollar. The dollar is rallying and following the interest rates up. That's probably helping to dampen some of the buying here in the energy complex.
Hey, thanks so much, Harry.
Thank you, Todd.
That, of course, is Harry Cooney. He is with GrowMark. Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Tuesday afternoon. Don Day is here from Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Hey, good afternoon to you, Don. Thanks for taking the time with us.
Good to be with you.
So let's talk a little bit about the weather in the Midwest. Looks like there's some rain that's going to make its way into the Northern Plains across a good part of the Corn Belt. Can you tell me when and where it starts and how much it will leave in its wake?
Well, right now it looks like the most active area is going to be in the Northwest Corn Belt. Starting today, we're going to see quite a bit of shower and thunderstorm activity over north central, northeast Kansas, eastern Nebraska, and that's going to go into central, western, and northern Iowa, where there could be some severe weather today. There's also going to be another round of shower and thunderstorm activity tomorrow in essentially the same area. Then that will shift eastward into Illinois, Indiana, Missouri, then eventually into Ohio. It does look like that northern and northwest Corn Belt could see anywhere between 1 to 3 inches of rain here over the next 4 to 5 days.
In the southern two-thirds of Illinois, two-thirds of Indiana, parts of Ohio, will they get as much rain? And it sounds like these are pretty tough rain showers, so they might be kind of a hard rain instead of a soft, gentle thing.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. There's going to be some heavy rain. Now, those areas you mentioned, the southern areas of the Corn Belt, are not going to receive as much. I would say probably about more in the half inch to an inch range. And as you noted, these are going to be some heavy thunderstorms, so there could be some pretty heavy rainfall with some of these.
So this is round one. Do we see another set next week?
Well, we see a little bit of a break in the weather, and then we see towards the middle of next week another round of activity coming. We're slowly but surely seeing that transition out of a latter half of spring now. And so we're going to still have some ups and downs, but the ups maybe a little bit more than the downs here in the next week or two. I do see a pattern, though, that for a good 4 to 5 days does look drier in the Midwest and Corn Belt early to mid next week. But in the short term, it is going to be wet in those central, northern, and northwest areas.
So we have had some pretty strong winds. Most of the time we're thinking, maybe we don't want those, but we do like to have things dry out, especially because soils have been cold and wet. Winds would be helpful. Will they be still around next week?
They're going to come and go. I don't think we're going to see it as windy as it's been. The systems that are coming on through are going to be a little bit more intense further west, and by the time they get here, they'll lose a little bit of their wind. I think the trend that a lot of folks would like to see is some improvement, both with temperatures and both with soil moisture temperatures and conditions. And slowly but surely, we're going to get there. It's just going to be a slow, tedious process.
Hey, Don, thanks so much.
Thank you.
That, of course, is Don Day. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. That wraps up this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on the farm in Elkhart, Logan County. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.